Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than coal. What in the world does your company
listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan.
R-Truth turns heel, gets some outside flack for it, and Kurt Angle pleads guilty to reckless driving. Hello everyone, my name is Corey Callahan. And you're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm joined alongside my good buddy, James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great tonight, buddy. And we're coming to you live from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. And I tell you, we got a hell of a show in store for you tonight.
So, James, the post-WrestleMania lull is upon us. And in my opinion, it's definitely showing.
Oh, you better believe it.
Well, on tonight's program, we plan to go over Monday Night Raw that took place from London, England. We have an interview lined up with a former independent wrestler by the name of Mean Streak Mike Dempsey.
I'm excited about that.
And I'm not so sure he's former. And of course, we bring you our weekly tradition, something we like to call tonight's Top 5. And don't forget, folks, that Smack Talk Radio Live is your source for all the latest news, views, and opinions. And we plan to bring that to you a little later on in our post-to-post report. And James, don't forget about tonight's poll question.
How could I forget about that, buddy?
All right, James. Well, let's get right into it. Let's go over Monday Night Raw.
I'm fighting everybody. Look, I'm gonna be the most fighting champion in the history of champions. I'm taking on anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. I don't care. I just want to fight. I'm going to show you what champions do. And that, my friend, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
It's time for the tale of the tape.
Well, James, just like I said before, Monday Night Raw came from London, England this week.
That's right, live from the O2 Arena in London, England. And I gotta tell you, buddy, it was a pretty craptacular Raw, if you ask me.
Well, I think it's expected this time of year. But anyways, R-Truth coming out to start the program. You don't see that every day.
Yeah, he came out to start off the show, and he looked pretty happy. He was in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, I have to admit, when R-Truth came out, immediately I'm thinking, oh god, here we go, the push for new superstars has begun.
My first initial reaction was, are you really starting Raw off with R-Truth?
Yeah, they are, and I didn't like it one bit. I mean, I've never been a fan of R-Truth, ever, and I don't understand why they would want to push someone like R-Truth. Well, I shouldn't say I don't understand it. I do understand it. I mean, it's no secret with the departure of Booker T and other superstars that they don't really have that African-American presence that they once
had before.
That's
true. That is true. I can see your...
So if you're looking for wrestlers that have, you know, that come from that background, R-Truth is, you know, he is up there with... He's got the look. I mean, I don't know if he's got the promo skills, but...
No. I don't know. There's just something about R-Truth that... I don't like. I can't really see him as a main eventer. I can't really see him going realistically above upper mid-card level, you know?
Yeah. Well, regardless, R-Truth comes out, and he starts talking about, you know, he's in line for the WWE title. He says he isn't perfect, but he is the truth. And he's walking out of Extreme Rules as WWE Champion. And he will be the most fighting champion of all time.
Yeah, that's what he said. Anyways,
I have to admit, when he came out and he started talking, I thought the crowd was absolutely dead. They pushed the audio for the crowd reacting to him. I'm telling you, that sounded like fake. I'm telling you, I really believe it was fake. I don't think that the crowd was reacting to R-Truth at all.
No, and this crowd in London, they're a smart crowd, and you can tell as the show progresses that these, you know, they're not your average crowd. They get some of their own interesting chants going, as they do in this segment here. But
Morrison comes out and he says Truth was lucky to get through what he did last week, considering the shape that he's in. Kind of a bash against him, referring to the gauntlet match that R-Truth won last night. Truth tries to prove that he's in shape, and Morrison replies that he's in good shape for an athlete that smokes.
And then they cut to a segment from last week's Raw, which was off camera, and we see R-Truth taking a drink from a bottle of water in between matches, just as John Cena's coming out and doing his introduction.
I actually really like that segment. I liked how they did that. It just goes to show you what happens off camera. You don't see that sort of stuff on camera, obviously.
But you know that was all written in, though, obviously.
Yeah, right? It could be. I mean, it probably happens more than you think.
I don't know. I think that was all written in just for this segment, as you'll find out here anyways. But yeah, like we said, comes out, Morrison says he's in good shape for a guy who smokes, and then they play this clip from Raw last week where he drinks the bottle of water, and
basically John Morrison convinces R-Truth to put his title shot at Extreme Rules on the line. So Morrison convinces him through this dialogue, and they end up having a match. But before the match, what makes me laugh is R-Truth has this new signature line he drops, and he says, quote, "the truth," or he says, "I'm the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." I don't get that. That's ridiculous.
And I don't care.
Yeah, it makes essentially. No sense. So anyways, Morrison and R-Truth have a match, and in the end, Morrison actually wins cleanly against R-Truth, and he does take his title shot at Extreme Rules against John Cena and The Miz.
Yeah, that's right. Morrison goes over R-Truth in about 4.5 minutes with the Starship Pain, which to me is a ridiculous looking move that's all flash. But here's my issue. Could you make R-Truth look any worse?
In what way?
Well, first Morrison comes out, completely dupes him, and then beats him clean. Like, could you... I don't know. It just made R-Truth
look... Yeah, you come out, you're pushing R-Truth as the guy who starts the show, and then he loses cleanly. Like, that makes no sense.
This whole bloody segment went on way too long in the first place anyways.
25 minutes, according to my PVR.
Yeah, no, way too long. That's more than enough R-Truth for my stomach.
It's at this point, after the match is over, that we now see the new R-Truth. He flips out on Morrison and almost becomes an instant heel. And I could see this coming because he was doing all the characteristic things that you do when you turn heel. You know, he starts playing it up to the crowd. He starts talking to himself. He's flipping out. I could see it coming from a mile away. He ends up destroying John Morrison, and more importantly, what happens afterwards is the news story in this segment.
Yeah.
One thing that we forgot to mention was that Morrison brings up the fact, well, no, we did mention it. He brings up that he's a smoker.
Yeah.
And R-Truth plays off that after the match by grabbing a bottle of water first and taking a sip, kind of, you know, playing on the clip that they showed from last week. And then he takes a pack of cigarettes, lights up a smoke, and blows out the cigarette smoke all over John Morrison.
All the while, the crowd is chanting, "That's illegal, that's illegal," which...
which is funny. I couldn't stop laughing at that. I thought that was hilarious. And the reason, because it's illegal to smoke indoors in London. And I actually read somewhere that they cut that whole segment out of Monday Night Raw in London. So when they aired it in London, they actually didn't show the part of him smoking indoors.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's kind of funny. I don't think this segment is good at all. I don't understand why you need to bring smoking into the mix. Is that how you turn a guy heel these days, by making him a badass by smoking?
Like, you're giving a guy crap because he drinks water and smokes cigarettes.
Yeah.
They're running out of ideas, the writers, I think.
Well,
it's
just a bad one. Like, if this is a PG-rated audience and you have all these kids watching, and the one thing I noticed was there are kids sitting in the front row right next to all this. And here's our truth, lighting up a cigarette. These are guys that kids are looking up to. I mean, I can understand they're trying to make him a bad guy, and they don't want kids to look up to him. But here he is, lighting up a cigarette in front of all these kids. And we get into it a little later on with the post-to-post report.
I don't know. I don't have that big a problem with it.
No, I don't like it at all. If it's a PG audience, which is what they say, then it shouldn't be. Regardless, moving on. We then get to Dolph Ziggler coming out to a whole new look. I mean, Vicky introduces the new and improved Dolph Ziggler. And Ziggler comes out with an absolutely mind-altering, brand new haircut.
Stunning in a bad way, though, folks.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize him. Like, yeah. I loved his platinum blonde hair. I'm not in that sort of way, but I'm saying it worked for him.
Do you know who he looked like?
Who?
He looked like Evan Bourne.
I actually kind of thought he looked like a bit like Ted DiBiase.
I think he looked like Evan Bourne. I thought he had almost the exact same haircut as Evan Bourne. You know, you're going to, for a first match with a new look, you're going to put him out against a guy that looks exactly like him. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So anyways, Evan Bourne comes out and they ended up having they have a match. It's a pretty good match. I didn't really see anything wrong with it. Standard match. And in the end, Dolph Ziggler hits the zigzag and picks up the victory. And then we then go to a graphic with Michael Cole and Queen Elizabeth, and Michael Cole's getting knighted tonight in London, England, folks.
Yeah, I had a good laugh about that. Like, of course, when they go to England, they always got to do like a cheesy stereotype of some sort, and this is just, you know, their stereotype for this time, I guess. Michael Cole getting knighted, you know.
Oh, you gotta like it though. You don't like it?
Well, no, I like it. I got a good chuckle out of it, and I mean, it could be, you know, it could be something that he could play on in the future here for quite a while. So
yeah. We then see a little highlight package of Sin Cara in action on Raw and SmackDown for the past couple weeks.
Oh, he hasn't been looking good, eh?
I don't know if it's him or if it's the guys he's wrestling against.
I don't know. He's botching a lot of his maneuvers, too. Like that, as we continue here with the review of the show, we'll get a little bit more into it. But, Sin Cara has not been looking good. And I think a move to SmackDown would be good for him.
For Sin Cara,
definitely, yes.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Because they can edit. They can edit on SmackDown.
But then we get to a video that I was actually glad to see, and it looked really good, and that was an intro, or a video for Edge's retirement.
Yes.
To the song, actually.
WWE always does good videos, yeah.
You gotta admit, Edge did have one outstanding career.
Oh,
and
amazing career.
It's a huge loss for the WWE.
It is a huge loss. But the coolest part about that, I think, is that guys like you and me, our age, we got to grow up watching all of Edge's career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we saw it from beginning to end, and it's kind of sad to see him go, because
I'm not 100% convinced that this is the last we see of Edge. He's obviously going to be back in some sort of capacity.
Well, he's got complications from a broken neck, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing that Stone Cold Steve Austin has.
But the fact that he can still wrestle that match at WrestleMania against Alberto Del Rio means that he definitely has it still. Yeah. In my opinion, and this is just a prediction, in my opinion, I'm saying he has the surgery, they give him a year to a year and a half off, and we possibly see him come back.
Think so?
Yep. He's too strong to disappear.
Well, if that's your argument, then why haven't we seen Stone Cold Steve Austin come back?
Well, because Stone Cold Steve Austin has other ventures that he can make money off of. What does Edge have other than wrestling?
What, Edge can't get into acting or music or anything?
I don't see it.
Really?
I don't see it. I don't see it being. I don't see him be a huge player in the Hollywood industry. I mean, Stone Cold has a look. He's the badass look.
Yeah.
What does Edge have? I mean, he's the perfect wrestler. He's got nothing else.
I don't know. I don't agree with you there, but whatever. Moving on.
Anyway, so then we get on to The Miz and A-Rai walking out in his... Well, Miz wearing his new shirt, of course.
Oh, yes. New t-shirts.
What did you think of it?
Not a fan.
No?
No. Anyways. Not my kind of style, but anyways.
So he cuts a promo, and again, I thought the crowd here was definitely fake. I didn't think that the crowd was reacting to The Miz as well as it sounded. But he's talking about, you know, how this change with R-Truth and Morrison affects nobody more important than him. And, Well, actually, why don't we listen to what he has to say?
All of that means that I don't have to be defeated to lose my WWE Championship. And I refuse, I will not leave this ring until the Raw General Manager makes this right. Alex, give me a chair.
And so then we go to commercial break, and The Miz is actually, they make the crowd sit through The Miz sitting in the ring on a chair the entire commercial.
I love that.
I think it's crazy.
I know, it was funny.
But, so he's sitting in a chair and he's saying he's not leaving until the Raw GM makes it right. And who of all people interrupts The Miz but Sin Cara?
Sin Cara, yes.
For the first time ever, he hits his trampoline jump as he runs to the ring.
Yeah, first time he didn't botch his entrance.
I don't know who to blame on that one. Is it the guy who's putting the trampoline there, or is it Sin Cara himself?
I don't know, but like, that's got to be a difficult entrance to do every single time, you know?
Yeah, I wonder how long it actually lasts.
Yeah, what happens if he's injured or something?
Yeah,
what if
he hurts himself? The one thing I did notice here, though...
Hey, what happens if he wrestles a cage match?
One thing I did notice here, though, is immediately Sin Cara chant by the crowd.
Yeah, that was, yeah. They're behind him. They're pushing him as a face. So
I think people are liking him so far. And
he's a DC. Yeah, he does a decent
baby
face.
The best is yet to come, that's for sure.
But he didn't look good tonight, I'll tell you that.
So then Cena comes out as well, right after Sin Cara, actually. And Cole receives a, and this makes me laugh, Cole receives a message from the Raw General Manager on his iPad.
Like, we weren't all expecting that.
And anyways, it sets up a match. Cena and Sin Cara versus A-Rai and The Miz. And I have to admit, in this match, I thought Sin Cara looked pretty decent. You know, again, the best is yet to come with him. But I thought he looked good.
You thought he looked good? Oh, wait, I have to totally disagree with you there. I thought at times he looked kind of lost, didn't know what he was doing. His maneuvers weren't as crisp and clean as he usually is.
Remember this, though. Sin Cara had one house show match before his debut. Wrestlers usually go through the whole developmental process.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're pushing him for TV way too quick.
I think, yeah, and I think it's probably because they're coming to Mexico. They're doing a Mexico tour in the near future, and that's they want to get him out there. But the fact is, like, you can't really blame the guy. He's only literally what you see on TV is what he's had aside from maybe two house show matches, from what I understand. So I don't think he's terrible. I think he's doing pretty good for what he's been given. I mean, you got to think, most wrestlers spend months, if not years, down in FCW training before they even get on TV. He literally had one house show match before he debuted.
That's
on Raw.
True, but you also got to remember the maneuvers that he's been doing. He's got them down to an art, to a science, right?
With wrestlers and with opponents know his style of wrestling. Wrestling in Mexico is a completely different style. I mean, these guys in the WWE are not used to that.
No, I agree with you there. It is a completely different style. But for example, look at the end spot where he went for that springboard moonsault on Alex Riley, which pinned him, by the way.
Yeah, that eventually got him the win.
He completely missed.
Mm-hmm.
He completely botched on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyways, Divas match at this point. Eve Torres walks out. Bella Twins come out and they have a match. And Eve ends up... It was actually Nikki Bella versus Eve Torres. And Eve wins with some weird, bizarre roll-up pin.
Oh, gee, I don't know. I went to the washroom. I don't watch women's wrestling.
So Cole then comes out and introduces Jack Swagger. Swagger brings out a robe and a scroll. And he starts by reading, "Hear ye, hear ye."
You mean, "Hear he, hear he."
Yeah.
And then, I love this whole segment. This is great.
And he introduces Queen Elizabeth, and wouldn't you know it, Queen Elizabeth walks out. Sort of. It was an obvious impersonator, but they never did touch on that.
She looked like she didn't know what she was doing, eh? She looked like she a deer in the headlights.
Most outside stars don't.
Like, oh, man. You could tell. She was rattled by the crowd.
It was funny, though, because everyone knew it was an impersonator, but no one said it.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh.
Oh, you could tell. She was visibly rattled by the crowd there, people.
And the other funny aspect to this was the crowd singing God Save the Queen. Which only in London will that happen. After being knighted, Cole tries to get a Sir Michael Cole chant going.
Wait. Before that, how about him kissing the Queen on the lips?
So good.
See, that's entertainment. That's where
Michael Cole shines. Yeah. It's not his wrestling ability.
No, I've said it before and I'll say it again. He's really taken the ball and run with this heel character that he's playing, so.
And then Cole tells JR and Lawler to get in the ring and kiss his feet.
Oh.
And the funny thing is that JR actually does.
Oh, man. And you know, how long has it been since we've seen Jim Ross humiliated on national TV?
I know. Well, quite a bit, actually.
How about that foot of Michael Cole's?
Oh, God. That had to be.
That was definitely makeup. I mean, if your foot's looking like that, you got to be going to the hospital.
So we then get to Sheamus versus Santino. I swear to God, for the millionth time, Santino rolls Sheamus into some weird-looking roll, and Sheamus, I'm pretty sure, fell onto Santino.
Yeah, the end to this match looked kind of weird to me. It looked like the ref was trying to get it. Trying to get it ended quick. So it kind of looked like Santino almost concussed himself there with this weird roll out of the corner that he had. It was like Sheamus was behind him. They were both in the corner. And he kind of went to roll him over his shoulder. But it kind of looked like Sheamus rolled on his head and he hit his head on the mat pretty hard.
He definitely hurt himself in some form. We tried to find it. We couldn't quite find it. I think I figured out where it happened.
Yeah, so Santino tries to go for the Cobra, which is his finisher, and then he kind of stumbles for a second there, and then there was like almost like a weak kick by Sheamus, which followed by his brogue kick. So
we then see another instant replay of earlier tonight, and this is my problem, and I'll get to this later on, but we see an instant replay of earlier tonight, the opening segment when R-Truth was blowing smoke onto Morrison. I just wanted to touch on that because as we get to our post-to-post report, I'm going to bring something up during that. And finally, we get to CM Punk versus Randy Orton, a WrestleMania Rewind match, which I cannot disagree with anymore.
Oh, you know, like, why are you giving us all these pay-per-view quality matches on free TV? Like, I almost miss the days when they'd have a name versus a jobber.
You just had it at WrestleMania. You just had the match. And then you're going to put it on Monday Night Raw, like, 3 weeks later? That makes no sense.
And then they're going to put it on Extreme Rules in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, the crowd doesn't want to see it again. I mean... Maybe the live crowd does, but the fans at home don't.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. These two work really well together, but, I mean, you can only do it so many times, you know?
At one point during this match, there was a pretty good GTS and RKO chant.
Yes, that was kind of cool.
Which kind of made me laugh. The crowd went back and forth. And one highlight of this match was Randy Orton doing the Angle Slam during the match, which, I don't know if you're aware, James, but Kurt Angle and Randy Orton have been having this Twitter battle, which again,
I heard something about that. Didn't Kurt Angle pull out an RKO at the last pay-per-view?
Yeah,
the last TNA
and Randy
pay-per-view?
Orton took exception to it and he said, you shouldn't be doing other people's finishers. And I guess Randy Orton, I guess Angle
well, Kurt,
did it
Kurt
again.
Angle, Kurt Angle, I think, said he did it out of respect. Quote.
Yeah, but I guess some wrestlers don't like it. So anyways, Randy Orton stooped to Angle's level and returned the favor and did the Angle Slam during his match. And in the end, Randy ended up winning with a surprise victory, small package. And then immediately after, Nexus came out. And,
the return of the new Nexus. Yeah. Just when you thought they were done and over with.
Yeah, no.
Here they are again.
So they come out and they beat down Randy Orton. And this time the highlight of this whole thing is Mason Ryan and how he has a personal vendetta with Randy Orton. And he actually sets up Randy Orton to give him the punt to the head. But Punk convinces Mason Ryan that he's still the leader of Nexus.
And that Randy Orton is his. And
Punk wants to be the one that punts him in the head. And Mason Ryan kind of, he doesn't go along with it at
first. He doesn't agree with it 100% at first, but then...
Punk ends up convincing him. Yeah. And Punk charges
him. He grabbed him around the throat.
Yeah. And Punk ends up, getting down and charging at Randy Orton. And out of nowhere, Randy Orton hits the RKO as Punk was running at him to give him the punt. And that's why I love the RKO, because it's that type of move that you can bust anywhere.
It's the Stone Cold Stunner, essentially.
Yeah. And so anyways, the show ends with Randy hitting the RKO on Punk, and that's
Randy
it.
Randy Orton's standing tall while CM Punk is fuming because, once again... he's got the better of him. So that's twice that Randy Orton's gone over CM Punk clean now.
So one thing they mentioned here, James, is throughout Raw, was that next week is the WWE draft.
That's right, the big draft.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of interested. It's with Edge leaving here, they got to do a major reshuffle of their talent, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of moves they do here.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to our poll question.
The poll question. Log on to Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio and cast your vote.
So the poll question, James.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's poll question is, how excited are you for the upcoming draft? You can log on to www.smacktalklive.com or www.facebook.com/smacktalkradio and cast your vote.
Look at you, already saying the website address wrong. smacktalkradiolive.com.
What did I say?
smacktalklive.com.
Oh, well, smackmyasslive.com. Anyways, tonight's poll question is, how excited are you for the upcoming draft? Are you A, stoked, I have my Vegas bookie on speed dial? B, I could care less, but hope to see some interesting moves? Or C, just merge the freaking brands already?
Yeah, you know, I'm not entirely convinced on the WWE draft. One thing I do know is that this is a panic move. Post-WrestleMania lull, you know, they're looking for something to spark it up. I don't even understand why the WWE draft is so important these days.
It totally diminishes. They've got guys from SmackDown on Raw and vice versa all the time now. I mean, it's, why don't you just merge the brands already, you know?
Who's some of your predictions to go in the draft?
Well, I'd like to see Sin Cara go over to SmackDown. That'd be one of my predictions, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Randy Orton definitely, I think, is going to go over to SmackDown because they're lacking for face talent there. But
I definitely think you're going to see Sheamus head over to SmackDown. I think he's done on Monday Night Raw. Yeah. Who else is he going to face?
I don't know. I think a lock for SmackDown is definitely going to be Randy Orton, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my pick. Randy Orton to SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good move or a bad move, but, what do you do at that point? Anyways, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but coming up on the show, in our local wrestling scene segment, we have an interview with former, although that could be debated, independent wrestler, Mean Streak Mike Dempsey. We have tonight's top five, as always, and our post-to-post report next.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, James, the post-to-post report. I like the name of that.
That's a good name. So, this is the segment where we bring you a little bit of the news of what's going on in the big leagues there.
Okay, so first, let's get to it. Kurt Angle's DUI arrest.
Oh, boy. This just gets... It just gets better and better, doesn't it?
I don't know if it was actually considered a DUI. It's the official charge actually is reckless driving.
It was reckless driving, was it?
Yeah. Last month, I think it was, Kurt Angle. They found Kurt Angle at his steering wheel. The car wasn't running. He wasn't driving. But they found him at the side of the road. Obviously, he had driven to that spot. And they found him drunk. He was barely over the 0.8% threshold.
So it was like George Michael style.
And he didn't have any prior drunk driving convictions, although he has been in trouble with the law before in this sort of area. Yeah. He was found not guilty once of drunk driving. But anyways, the important fact here is that Kurt Angle was sentenced on Friday to get a chemical dependency evaluation, pay a $250 fine, and serve a year of unsupervised probation. But the final nail in the coffin is a 10-day jail sentence, which was suspended. So I don't know if that means he has to serve 10 days down the road. I'm guessing that's what that means.
No, maybe they're taking his schedule into account or something.
I don't know. It's a little bizarre, but... moving on, Chris Jericho, our weekly Chris Jericho update on Dancing with the Stars, and I know you're such a huge fan of that show, James.
Bottom two, can you believe it?
Yeah, that was interesting. I think he's doing well. I mean, I watched him. He's got the charisma. I mean, he's definitely the best on the mic. The thing about Dancing with the Stars is they make you feel, the whole show is awkward. Everyone's so lovey-dovey and smiling all the time and hugging and it's just bizarre. Like, I think for Jericho to adapt to that environment is actually really good. I mean, it's not easy to do, and he's done it well, and his dancing has been above average.
That's one of the things that makes Chris Jericho as good as he is his ability to adapt to different situations, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. just joking. Anyways, the other thing is, moving on to the next topic here, Awesome Kong on her way to the WWE.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
The thing is, though,
this might actually make me interested in women's wrestling.
Maybe for a week.
Yeah.
But the one note worth mentioning is, I don't think they're going to call her Awesome Kong.
No.
Typically, as always, they change the name of the wrestler so they can own the rights to the name. Because obviously, Awesome Kong was a name she used in other organizations.
She used that in TNA, didn't she?
Yeah. And, you know, they do that with every wrestler. So they can own the name and the rights to that.
So does TNA, do they own the name Awesome Kong?
No, I don't think they do. They don't go as far as patenting names like the WWE does. Mm. The TNA just lets them have their name, basically.
Mm.
But the WWE submitted for patent this week the name Karma, which is the rumored new name for Awesome Kong.
Karma with an H.
Yeah, Kharma. What do you think about that?
I think they could have came up with something better than Karma, but...
Yeah.
This is the WWE writers we're talking about here.
And an important email got sent out this week, and it was titled The Language of WWE. And they sent that out to people that do international voiceovers for their TV shows. And, James, this is very interesting. This is coming off the WWE has no longer wants to associate themselves with the term wrestling.
Don't even get me started on that.
So what this sheet includes is a list of incorrect terminology and a list of correct terminology. So what these voiceover artists can say and what they can't say. So here are some things that you can't say as a voiceover artist. The word wrestling or catch is banned. Some European countries still use the term catch to describe pro wrestling and catchers to describe wrestlers.
Hmm.
So you can't say those words anymore. And another banned word is sports. Sports is actually incorrect. Entertainment or action soap opera is allowed. For example, WWE is exciting entertainment, or WWE is an exciting action soap opera.
Are you kidding me?
Ridiculous.
Oh.
Athletes or sportsmen are not allowed. WWE superstars are entertainers with tremendous athletic prowess. That's what you should say. The term fight is not allowed. Matches must be referred to as match or bout. And fighting is not allowed, but the term action is. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Did you see R-Truth promo earlier? All he ever said about was how much he wanted to fight. I want to fight.
Yeah, I mean, they're just contradicting themselves here. And at the end of the email, they give a couple key sound bites, so lines that they don't mind you using. One is WWE is pure entertainment, WWE is an action soap opera,
and WWE
superstars are entertainers with tremendous athletic prowess.
I hate that. Action soap opera. That just sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a slap in the face to their roots. You know, all the independent promotions and stuff out there, that's just a slap in their face, in my opinion. I don't know.
I know a lot of guys are against it. I've read something about Bret Hart being against it. And I think it's not them being against it. I just think it's like, how can you ignore the term wrestling?
Yeah.
This is what this is. It's been like that for years. You can't just go and change it. Ugh. And especially when your main draw is titled WrestleMania.
No kidding. So what is this going to be? Action soap opera mania now? Like,
makes no sense to me of any kind. But again, I could go on about things that don't make sense in the WWE.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Action Soap Opera Mania 28 from Miami, Florida.
And in our weekly update, Jeff Hardy, his court case has been postponed. And you seem to know the answer as to why it was postponed.
Yeah, they want him to go through some kind of drug assessment with rehab, so his case has been postponed for that.
For the millionth time,
yeah. It's just an ongoing action soap opera with Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Now, this brings us to R-Truth. Now, earlier in the show, we had brought up, you know, the fact that R-Truth was smoking.
Yeah.
Now, the next morning, TMZ posts an article saying that Patrick Reynolds, the executive director of TobaccoFree.org, was strongly against what R-Truth had done last night on Raw. And he said, quote, "For him to smoke in front of children is irresponsible. You know, at best, it's thoughtless, and at worst, if he calculated appealing to kids by posing as a bad boy outlaw, it's evil."
You know what? This is just one of those other stupid right-wing groups that are using this as an opportunity to get their message across. You know,
I'm not even convinced that this is all real. I'm sorry to say, but how does a guy who apparently is busy enough to run TobaccoFree.org, how does he have time to watch Monday Night Raw and then to come up with a press letter a press release the next morning?
Jeez.
Don't you think you go through
lost.
The proper channels?
Get
to me,
that's
this is
I...
a public. To me, this is a publicity stunt.
Oh, totally. All this is just an opportunity for them to get their platform across.
And sometimes,
you know?
I wonder if the WWE is even in on it, because it just seems so scripted to me. You have R-Truth coming out and smoking in front of the fans. Now, obviously, the WWE knows that that's something they shouldn't be doing. You don't see that on a show. But they do it anyways. And then to top it off, they show replays of him blowing smoke on John Morrison. To me, that's the WWE saying, yeah, we realize that he did that, and we're going to advertise that he did that. And we're almost bragging that R-Truth did this on our show.
Yeah.
When they know damn well, in the wake of all these recent, GLAAD coming out against Michael Cole and John Cena, they know these activist groups are eyeing the WWE down.
Oh, they're waiting for any opportunity they can to get in there and use something to get their platform across.
So to me, I wonder if it's it's a way bigger plan than what the average person is thinking. I swear to God, I think WWE...
I think you're reading too deep into
it. I don't. I think the WWE goes to these organizations and they come up with some sort of agreement where they want to plug a charity or a group they say, okay, this is how we're going to do it.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think that it's that at all.
Well, I don't understand why a writer in the WWE, and especially Vince McMahon, thinks they can get away with doing what they did on Monday.
What, with the smoking?
Yeah.
Well, you know he smokes in real life, right?
So? Why do you bring it into a show? Why do you have, when you have 20,000 fans sitting around you and you're at the center of attention, why do you go and light up a smoke?
They're just doing it to make him look more heelish.
No.
I don't know. I didn't have as big an issue with it as I guess you do, but...
I it's just cheap to me. It's a cheap heel turn and it's... classless.
The whole Raw was terribly written. I mean, like, nothing, you know, none of the matches were for anything. It's, you know, yeah, it's like we said at the beginning of the show. We're definitely in the post-WrestleMania lull.
Yeah. They need something. Let's get to the financials as we do every week on the Post-to-Post Report. Currently, the WWE stock price, $11.32 a share.
Going down like a rock in a lake.
Yeah, I had brought up the fact that... that usually after WrestleMania, the WWE stock goes up. That's obviously not happening this year. It happened last year. It's not happening this year.
Well,
that's got to say something.
Well, with Monday Night Raws like this one, you can see why stock's going down, plummeting.
Yeah. Well, that brings us up to the gate came in for WrestleMania, actually. The show and pay-per-view... let me rephrase that. The gate came in for this year's WrestleMania, and the gate was $6.6 million.
Not too shabby.
And an interesting stat about that is that it's actually the second all-time to WrestleMania 25 in Houston, Texas, which had $7.2 million. So for as bad of a show as it was to some people,
yeah,
it still made $6.6 million.
Well, I think that's just because it was overhyped.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm at that point now where I believe that it's no longer about the show. It's people are going to WrestleMania anyways because they know that that's the one day they, where they can meet up with all the other wrestling fans and have a big party together. So I'm...
Yeah, no, it's just...
And they sell the tickets in November when the show's not even written, right?
It's a holiday that you plan for, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we've done it, so...
So you could have the worst show on the planet, but it doesn't matter because they're still going to get the gate. And...
I don't know.
It's good for the cities that go that host WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I read somewhere $50 million is plugged into the local economy.
Yeah, oh yeah, tourism goes up big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, the Monday Night Raw show rating this week 3.45 rating with a 5.46 million viewers. This is kind of staggering. It's down 10% from last week's Raw, which was 3.82. So you go from 3.82 to 3.45.
And how much do you want to bet that next week's Raw is going to go down even more?
Yeah, no kidding. One interesting fact was Tough Enough, which I haven't actually seen yet, but...
yeah, they don't have it up here in Canada,
no.
which is unfortunate.
But
really.
Tough Enough in the 8 p.m. time slot was a 1.81 rating, which is pretty good considering it's just a normal reality show. But it was actually down 27% from the show last week, which drew 2.51, so...
And
I don't think you can read too much into that. It's still early, but
yeah.
It's still decent ratings. It's still getting better at ratings than Impact is.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've heard nothing but good things about it, so...
Yeah. Well, anyways, folks, that is the post-to-post report. And we got to take another commercial break. But next is the local wrestling scene running down the ECCW, ASW, and most importantly, an interview with Mike Dempsey.
And don't forget about tonight's top five, buddy.
We'll be right back.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, James, the local wrestling scene.
Yeah.
I'm still convinced that this segment is going to be the best segment of the show.
Absolutely, man.
It's we deal with the promotions in the Pacific Northwest mostly. For the time being, you know, we're going to talk ECCW and ASW. But over time, we hope to expand that to, you know, Calgary, Edmonton, down south to Alberta, California. Who knows?
Yeah, just at this point, we're going to, I think, focus on the two promotions that run out of Vancouver here. And they're two excellent promotions with a lot of real good talent that put on some good shows. And, yeah, so we're just going to talk a little bit about them.
So let's start first with ASW. ASW just had a show at Westview Secondary in Maple Ridge.
That was actually not a bad show, I thought.
We were both there. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought the crowd was kind of weak, but as the show progressed, it got a little bit better.
Anytime you have a show in a new venue, in a new city that you don't
usually
come to...
Yeah, you're always going to have a cold crowd.
Always. And unless something happens in the show that magically makes them change their mind, they're always going to be
Yeah, they're always going to be cold crowds if you're going somewhere where you haven't really been before. I thought Mark Anthony and Volcano was a match of the night.
I agree. I thought it was an excellent match. The fact that Mark Anthony comes out super hardcore, you know, tough, and then he basically says, you know, I'm the toughest guy here, and I'm the biggest, baddest, and I've also been blessed with a beautiful voice.
And then he busts out R. Kelly. If you can believe it. And he busted out good, too. He actually does have a decent voice.
It's such a great gimmick. And,
yeah.
And he is one of the better technically sound wrestlers. That's one thing I do criticize that show a bit about was some of the wrestling is just not up. It's not there.
I don't know. For me, it was the striking.
That's what it is.
The striking was really, really weak.
If I could give a piece of advice to any independent wrestler out there, it's make sure your strikes are as good as they get.
Bad punches ruin a match.
One Trust bad me. Punch can ruin a
Trust
match.
Trust me, bad punches, bad kicks ruin a match, you know?
You gotta make sure, and I saw some of the wrestlers, they ignore that aspect.
They're being soft.
They use punches as a way to transition into their next move.
Yeah.
But they're thinking of the next move, and they're not thinking about the punches that they're doing at the current time.
No.
And that kills
it. It's just brainless filler, essentially, right? But you got to really, I don't know, you got to put some oomph into it, I guess.
To me, it kills it. It can kill a match. One thing I noticed, though, Mark Anthony definitely does not do that. He is on his game with every punch, every move.
Crisp, and he had crisp stomps and everything. It was good.
Mm-hmm. So ASW, they did have their show in Maple Ridge, and if you need to check out their website, of course, it's www.aswcanada.com. And one thing I've noticed on their website is they've actually canceled their Friday, May 6th show in Campbell River. I'm not quite sure why they canceled it, but it now leaves them with quite a large gap until their next show.
Yeah, their next show is not until Saturday, June 25th in Princeton, BC.
That could change. I'm not sure if it does.
I'm pretty sure it'll change. I can't see them going...
We're going to have to look into that for
I can't
sure.
see them going 8 weeks without having a show in between, you know?
Now, that show in Maple Ridge at Westview Secondary was on a Friday. The Saturday, the ECCW, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling, had their show at the Russian Cultural Center in Kitsilano.
Yeah, great venue that
is. We went to that again as well. And I have to say, James, I've never been to that venue before, but wow.
Yeah, it's a good little venue.
It's a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
My only complaint would be the fact that it has a very low roof.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't eat. It doesn't allow for very many high spots with the roof being that low.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought they still did pretty well. I saw guys do splashes off the top rope and that sort of stuff.
I agree.
It was still good. The crowd there is awesome.
Yeah, it was a good crowd. It was a very good crowd. But again, it goes back to that. It goes back to the whole, wrestling in places where you've been before, right? And they always go to that venue, so.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I did like about that venue was just how into it the crowd was. And again, to me, that comes down to the actual wrestling. The wrestling there was night and day compared to the show the night before with ASW.
The wrestling was a lot better.
It was really well done.
This isn't a shot to anybody in ASW, by the way, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's two different shows.
Yeah.
Two different target audiences.
Yeah.
And but for me, this one works, but that's probably because I'm not a young kid, right?
Yeah.
If I had kids...
Yeah,
it would be ASW.
Yeah, ECCW is kind of geared more towards a more mature audience, mm-hmm. really, don't you think?
So, coming up for ECCW, they have Chamber of Extreme, which is April 29th in Surrey, and I wish I could go to this one, but I'm going to be out of town.
I'll probably be there.
Chamber of Extreme, which is if El Fantasmo loses, he will be fired as he takes on Scotty Mac.
Oh, because we all know how serious people take wrestling firings.
And as well, the unified NWA ECCW Canadian Championship, or champion, I should say, Tony Baroni, he takes on Pete Powers.
That should be a good match.
And the Canadian Junior Heavyweight Championship is on the line as Artemis Spencer, who is the champion, takes on Stalin Smith.
Stalin Smith, man, he's on the rise.
And finally, the natural, actually, it's not finally, but the natural will be handcuffed to the ring post as Veronica Vice takes on Tennille Taylor.
Oh, Tennille Taylor in action.
Tennille Taylor is coming down to her last match here. Yeah,
catch her while you can, guys.
Yeah, and the one interesting note is Veronica Vice, a diva with the ECCW, she's actually going to be on Wipeout Canada this, I think it's Monday coming up.
Well, that's a funny show.
Yeah, she's one of the contestants on it, so that should be pretty interesting. And finally, to wrap up this card, it's, well, I should say probably to start the card. I'm reading them backwards, but Rick the Weapon X is taking on Jason Sullivan. So Chamber of Extreme, April 29th. You can check out their website, www.eccw.com. And speaking of that group, James, we had a chance to speak to a former wrestler of the ECCW, Mean Streak Mike Dempsey.
Wrestled for them for, what, 6 years, I think?
It was something like that,
03 to 09?
Yeah. Anyways, we had a chance to speak with him earlier today. Here's what he had to say. All right, everyone. We are here with Mike Dempsey, also known as Mean Streak Mike Dempsey. And Mike, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Can't complain, my man.
I just, you know, I think everyone wants to know, what has Mean Streak Mike Dempsey been up to these days?
Well, I did take some time off. It's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years since I've been in the ring. You know, I actually moved to Toronto, I've moved back recently, so I'm back in the Pacific Northwest where... you know, this is where I grew up, and this is where I love to be, and couldn't stay away. But as far as being in the squared circle, I haven't really been doing that for a little while.
I was gonna say 2 years away from the ring. I mean, do you miss it at all?
Oh, there's no doubt that I miss it. Like I said, it's been almost 2 years, and you know, you get that craving, you get that itch to lace up the boots and get back in there, but. You know, there's a lot of distractions in life, and everybody's got their 9-to-5 job, and everybody's got different balances they gotta find in life. And
I can't
say that I don't miss it.
Yeah, we definitely hear you there, man. Have you been to any of the shows in town here lately?
You know, I can't say that I have, but I have been following the results online, and looks like they got a new champion there, in Baroni, and everything looks to be going pretty great in ECCW. I mean,
did you ever wrestle Tony Baroni?
What's that?
Did you ever wrestle Tony Baroni?
We met up in a few different circumstances during the Wrestling with Hunger event where they put on the 48-hour wrestling show there.
All right.
So yeah, we have met a couple times, and we've also trained in the ring a few times too.
So take us back, for the people who don't know Mean Streak Mike Dempsey, take us back through your career. Where did you start? How did you get going? Where did you wrestle? Just give us the brief synopsis.
Well, early 2005, around January, February, I started training with ECCW at the House of Pain. I started training with a class that involved Adam Silva and Mark Anthony, who's in ASW now, as well as Kurt Sterling and a few others. And we trained under Michelle Starr and his excellent team of trainers, including Scotty Mack and Disco Fury and Vance Nevada. Vance Nevada was a real inspiration to me in the early goings there. And I started to get my shots in actually a promotion called Just Wrestling. And then I moved on to start wrestling down in the States, went to Portland, went to the West Coast Wrestling Connection down there, and they were huge for me. They got me lots of matches. And you know, I worked for different companies around, mostly in the Pacific Northwest. I traveled a little bit, but basically stood around here locally, won a couple titles, and had a great time. Took a year off a few years ago, and then, of course, I'm on a break right now as well.
So you had mentioned the West Coast Wrestling Connection down in Oregon. Touch on that. What was that all about? What's that promotion doing these days?
The West Coast Wrestling Connection was actually a new promotion when I started down there. I think that was about 2006. I was just in my first year. I was still a rookie, actually. And they are a very well-run company. They're run by a guy named Jeff Manning, who also referees for them. And they got just an excellent team. I have never seen a more well-run wrestling promotion than what I've seen there. Although ECCW under Scotty Mack is doing great now as well. They are more of a family-friendly company, and so they put on an excellent show, and they bring in talent from California and all over the place. So,
Who else from Vancouver would head down to Oregon and wrestle those shows with you?
Well, back when I was going down there on a regular basis, you know, they asked me, you know, what other Canadians are up there. that are looking to get a few more bookings. And you know, there's just a handful of young guys here. There's so much young talent in the Pacific Northwest, and so I would start going down there. Memphis Reigns, now known just as Memphis, he would go down there with me. We actually won the tag team titles in that promotion. And let's see, Kyle O'Reilly also got some breaks there. Halo, who's now known as Artemis Spencer. Just quite a few guys, you know, five or six guys who would head down there on a monthly basis.
So earlier when we mentioned Tony Baroni being the new ECCW champion, you mentioned that you guys had crossed paths at the Wrestling with Hunger event. You maybe want to touch on that a little bit more? Tell us what that was all about? I think that was a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wrestling with Hunger was a charity event where we were trying to both raise food. It was like a food drive, and we were also trying to set a world record, which we did successfully, to my knowledge, for the longest wrestling event. We actually went, I said earlier, it was 48 hours. I believe it was actually 72 hours, which is just mind-boggling to think about.
But, so 72 yeah, hours right, of nonstop 72 matches?
72 hours. It was nonstop. We went in shifts, and we just kept wrestling. There was never more than like a minute where there wasn't a wrestling match going on in the ring for 72 straight hours. It was crazy.
And that set a new world record.
Yeah, I believe so. We were going for a Guinness World Record, and the entire thing was filmed, and it was submitted to Guinness, and I'm fairly certain that we got that record.
So that's definitely got to be one of your highlights of your career, Mike. I got to ask you, though, what, in your opinion, would be the biggest career highlight that Mean Streak Mike Dempsey had?
Oh, boy. Let me think now. I've had some good matches with a lot of great opponents. I would say that my greatest achievement personally would be winning. There's a few. Let me just say it. Winning the tag team titles with Memphis, as I previously mentioned, that was a great thrill for me. Those were my first titles held with him. And then also on the island for Just Wrestling, I won their light heavyweight title, their equivalency of the light heavyweight title. And that was in a ladder match. That was a four-way ladder match. And so that was my first and only singles title that I won.
Who was that match against?
Do you remember your opponents?
My opponents in that match were Ice, Kamikaze, who now wrestles as Scott Steele. He had a mask on at the time. As well as one other opponent that actually slips my mind. But we had a great match, and it was, yeah, like I said, it was a ladder match, and it was actually an outdoor event, and it was great to win that first singles title.
All right, Mike, well, we've talked about your past, we talked about your highlights from the past, but we got to know, I think the fans want to know, what can we expect from Mike Dempsey in the future?
Well, you know, I've been working out, and I'm getting that itch to get back in the ring. ECCW, I always felt it's my home. You know, I'm on good terms with all those guys, and they just have such an incredible roster.
Have you talked to Scotty Mack at all?
I actually haven't. So that may be happening shortly. I'm going to check out some shows here, and you know, we'll see. In the wrestling world, you know, there's always that sort of cliched saying, never say never. So I think that's what I'm going to have to leave you guys with, is never say never. You never really have any idea. I'm still young. I can still definitely go in the ring, and it's just a matter of things lining up for me.
All right, Mike. We'll definitely appreciate your time, and thanks for talking to us today.
Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it, James. Mike Dempsey.
Yeah, it was not bad. Not bad at all. As far as we can tell, I mean, he might be making a comeback. He might not be.
I think the fans really do want to see Mike Dempsey come back. I mean, I've seen people ask about him on message boards before and that sort of stuff. So I think it's something you'll definitely see. I mean, I think for him personally, it's probably about getting in shape.
Yeah, and, that's the big one,
and
right?
Working off that ring rust.
Well, you know what they say. When you get that itch, it's, you know, it's hard to scratch.
Anyways, last but not least on the show, we have one more segment that we like to call Tonight's Top 5, and that's coming up right after this commercial break.
Stick around.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, helping you remember what most of us couldn't. Tonight's top five.
All right, James, tonight's top five.
That's right. This is one of my most favorite segments of the show here. As most of you may know or not know, Adam Copeland, better known as Edge, has retired from wrestling due to complications from a neck injury that he suffered. So that being in mind, we thought with tonight's top five, we'd go with the top five most memorable Edge moments in his storied career.
And I'm sure, as a lot of people realize, there are a ton of them.
Oh.
It's tough to just put five.
It is. But we'll start off with number five, being when Edge screwed out John Cena of his WWE title at One Night Stand in June 2006. RVD was having a match. Actually, he'd cashed in his Money in the Bank to have a title match against John Cena. And at the end of the match, Edge did a run-in wearing a motorcycle helmet and a long leather jacket and speared John Cena through a table. And then RVD came back in and hit the five-star frog splash and won his first ever WWE title, cashing in the Money in the Bank.
Crazy. The beginning, it was the beginning for a lot of things for Edge.
Yeah, no, that was the start of his big feud with John Cena over the summer, which was one of the more memorable ones.
And that brings us to number four. Number four, the live sex celebration with Lita on Monday Night Raw after he won his first title. This segment was one of the highest rated on Raw in years. And one of the best of the pre-PG era.
You'll never see that on WWE TV again, folks.
You know, that was a crazy segment. I remember they were advertising it the week before, and I was like, are they actually going to do this? And I knew something was going to be up. But they pulled it off. And the funny thing is they had the ever so illustrious Lita nip slip.
Not that we, you know, look for those kind of things, but
yeah, I thought it's, you know, it was the beginning of the rated R superstar, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And it was perfect. It was well done.
Yeah, and that brings us to number three, which was Edge being the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match winner at WrestleMania 21. Now, this was something new and innovative that they did, but this Money in the Bank match really elevated Edge to main event status, and you know, it kind of brings us to later on in the countdown.
Well, the other thing about this match to me that's important is it started the entire Money in the Bank series of matches,
yep.
And now a pay-per-view. And I've always said that's one of the most exciting matches in the WWE. I mean, the stakes are high. Not much higher than any other match that they have.
Here's a question for you: Do you think they should have made a pay per view around it, or do you think they should have just kept it for WrestleMania?
I think they should have kept it for WrestleMania.
I agree.
Because it gave a lot of guys opportunities to have a match at WrestleMania. But
yeah.
I understand why they did it. But you know, the one thing you can remember about Money in the Bank was it all started with Edge.
Yep.
That brings us to number two: Edge spearing Jeff Hardy from 20 feet above the ring.
Oh man!
At WrestleMania 17. This spot would go a long way to cementing both men's statuses and main eventers, and will always be remembered as an iconic WrestleMania moment.
I'll always remember where I was when I saw that live. I was at my buddy's place watching it, and we thought that we just saw Jeff Hardy die in the middle of the ring.
You'll never see that in today's WWE.
No, that's just way too dangerous.
With the amount of dates that guys are working in the WWE, they make a point to keep, you know, their bodies healthy. And the days of falling off a 20-foot ladder like that are over, I think.
No, you don't really see many high spots like that.
Maybe at WrestleMania, but
yeah.
That was one thing that Edge was always good for. And this, James, brings us
to the
number one.
Number one.
Edge will spear John Cena over and over again if he has to.
Oh! And again!
Cover!
I can't believe it! This was indeed a historical night!
Edge had...
Oh.
The world!
What happened there?
I don't know.
Edge winning the first WWE title at New Year's Revolution 2006 after cashing in his Money in the Bank and spearing John Cena twice.
A bloodied John Cena, which you won't, of course, see in today's WWE. But
no, of course. No. But what did you like about that moment the most?
Oh, I just like how it really solidified Edge as one of the top guys.
Yeah.
You know, he paid his dues up to that point. He'd worked real hard, and he'd taken massive bump after massive bump, as exampled by the two TLC matches at WrestleMania 16 and WrestleMania 17. But, you know, no, I like that.
All right, well, with the departure of Edge comes the WWE draft next week on Raw.
Comes uncertainty.
And, again, I think Sheamus is going to head to SmackDown. What did you say again?
I think Randy Orton's going to head to SmackDown, and if they're smart, they'll put Sin Cara on SmackDown. Because, let's face it, I'm sorry, but live TV is not his friend.
The one thing about the WWE right now is they are lacking some serious character development. Faces and heels. They're hard to distinguish who's on what brand. You know, who are the heels on SmackDown?
That's the thing. It's hard. There's a lot of gray area right now with the characters in WWE, and I don't know. It makes it tough for just the average person to know who to cheer for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Folks, that brings a wrap to our show, Smack Talk Radio Live. You can always check out our website, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, our Facebook group, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and folks, we'll see you next Thursday live at 9 o'clock.
Hope to see you there.